But isn't it great to be a church, part of a church that's so diverse? Isn't it? We suddenly see and hear so much, and we realize that we are so privileged here in this church to have so many different nations as part of our church, so many different cultures. And I think today is about celebrating that and enjoying that. And do you know, it's God's plan that he would bring a church together that is diverse. It's God's heart for his church to be one. Because Paul uses the analogy of the body. Okay, can I just ask, has anybody left any bits at home today? You've brought all your body with you, haven't you? Because the body is one, and that's the illustration Paul uses, that the church should be one. And I want to talk this morning about the subject of unity and how, as Christians, we are called to be part of a church. We are called to be part of a united church, because we know when we are united, we are that much stronger. And you know, when you read the Bible, you read the New Testament, Jesus was very big on unity. As he spoke to his disciples, the last words, the last time he had with them, he talked about unity. And the Apostle Paul, he was really big on unity. He was dealing with lots of different churches. And each church he spoke to, each church he wrote to, he talked about unity. So Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, and in particular Ephesians. And I just wanted this morning to look at six verses, so it shouldn't take very long, six verses from the book of Ephesians. And if you do have a Bible, you want to follow this. This is found in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, Ephesians as a book is probably two sections. The first section is about how much God has done for you, and how much the salvation of Jesus was amazing for the people in Ephesus, how God had called them, chosen them, filled them with the Holy Spirit, saved them from God's wrath, and brought them into this wonderful relationship. First three chapters are about how great God is and all that he's done. And the last three chapters, from 4, 5, and 6, are about how we should live for God. As a result of what God has done, how should we live? And Paul goes really big on unity. So in Ephesians 4, it says this. And if you have a King James version, which you probably don't have, the first word is therefore. And that's because what he wants to say is, God's done all this, therefore, this is how you should live. It says this, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What I want us to do is just quickly unpack those verses and just think about all this whole thing about unity. You see, the church in Ephesus was a divided church. There were people who were Jews and there were people who were Gentiles. And if you look at chapter 2, and you'll see how Paul is saying, there's you lot and there's you lot. And what God wants you to do is he wants you to become one, because you are Christians and Christ has broken down the barriers. So there shouldn't be any barriers between the Jews and the Gentiles. And in chapter 4, he goes on to talk about the whole thing about how to become a united church. Now, I have to say, what I've done this morning, I've done something which I think is a bit naughty, okay? I haven't done anything naughty at home, but what I've done is I've taken this Bible passage and I've turned it around. If I was Paul, I would have written it differently. If it was my job to write the Bible, I would have written this slightly different. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do those verses in reverse. Okay, is it you okay with that? You'll forgive me. Well, I hope God forgives me, because that's more important. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at three things. The first thing is the basis for our unity. And there's that wonderful passage, isn't it? It says there is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all. And what he's saying is basically our the basis for our unity is the fact that we all believe the same thing, that we have been saved, that we have one God, we have one Spirit, we have one Lord, one baptism, and he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we've got one hope, the calling of God upon our lives. So we've all got that in common. So we should all be one, shouldn't we? Yes, and church is lovely because we're all one. Well, it's not always lovely, is it? Because actually we do have disagreements, and sometimes we disagree about certain things. So many years ago, if we talked about the second coming, there would have been maybe a little bit of division. There's people saying there's going to be a rapture, and there's another group of people saying, well, actually, there's not going to be a rapture. It's going to happen this way, or it's going to happen that way. And there would be a bit of a division. And so there are other areas, like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people say you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You become a Christian, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit afterwards. Others would say baptism of the Holy Spirit is part of your conversion. So there was a bit of a division. And today, when we look at subjects like same-sex relationships, perhaps there is a bit of division in people's views. But what Paul is saying is the essentials are the thing that we hold on to. The one faith, one Lord, one Father, etc., etc. And so we can be united, even if we have different views on different things. It's important that we hold on together to the essentials of our faith. And that's what Paul is saying. These are the things that hold you together. So we have the basis for our unity is what we believe. Those creedal statements. The next thing is, how do we live a life of unity? And let's go to the next verses. Of course, we're going backwards through the passage. I hope you don't mind. So what Paul goes on to say is, actually, this is how you should live. You should be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And so Paul is saying, actually, when it comes to unity, it's not a given, is it? Okay, we may believe the same kind of things, but we're all different. We all have different preferences. And so actually, we have to work hard at being united. See what Paul says? He says, make every effort. Okay? Because unity is not a given. It's something that we have to work on. And so he says, firstly, you've got to be completely humble. The Greeks didn't actually have a word for humble. And it was the Christians who coined this word because the Greeks were so full of themselves. And the thought of Jesus humbling himself was like a real no-no for the Greeks. They didn't believe that was a good thing to do. You need to be proud of who you are and your achievements. But what Paul is saying is you need to be humble. You need to be not just humble, you need to be completely humble. And realize, actually, when it comes to yourself, there are other people who are more important. Other people need to go first before we do. And so we need to be completely humble. How do you find that? For some of us, we're very humble. Others, maybe we struggle with that. But if we want to be united, we have to realize, and it says a number of times in Scripture, that we have to put other people first. And Jesus is our example. Philippians chapter 2, Jesus humbled himself even to death on a cross. He is our model and he is our example. The next thing is that we have to be gentle. As I look around the room, I can see some very gentle people. I was listening to somebody preach on this, and he was talking to a load of men, and he said, guys, which ones of you are gentle? And all the blokes said, not me. I'm a man. I don't do gentle. But it's true, isn't it? Gentle is not, again, it's one of those things that we don't think about, or perhaps we don't want to do or be. But Paul is saying you need to be gentle. Gentle with one another. How you treat one another. We can so easily be harsh and rough with people. And actually, that's not a trait as Christians we should have. How about patience? You should be patient. Yeah, we all find that one easy, don't we? Because in the church, you see, there are people who like to run along and do stuff. And there's others who like to go slowly. Which one are you? I'm looking in the front row. I know which one he is. He wants to run 100 miles an hour. And there's others who go, oh, I'm a bit more laid back, aren't I, Stu? Maybe. And we have to be patient with one another because we're different. And when we are patient with one another, it shows respect, it shows love and care. It shows that actually we are interested in each other. And Paul goes on to say, bear with one another in love. Because love is essential when it comes to unity. And I wonder if you look across the room, do a quick scan of everybody, might just see the back of their heads. How much do you love the people you're with? How much do you love your church? Because we are to bear with one another love. And again, sometimes people do stuff that really, really, I have to be careful what I say here, annoys us. And we are called to bear with one another in love. And it says in 1 Peter that actually love covers a multitude of sins. I'm going to move on. Because lastly, I'm going to take the first two verses, which is the call to unity. Okay, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So God has called each one of us. And we're to live a life that is worthy. And it goes back to what he's already written. In those first three chapters of Ephesians, he said a number of things about what God has done for us. And he says you need to live a life that is worthy. And the root word actually is all to do with scales and balances. Now, in these days, when you want to weigh anything, you have your electronic scale, don't you? And you put it down and you weigh your flour and your butter and all that kind of stuff. In the old days, and some of you remember this, do you remember the days of the balance scale? And you have to put your little weights on one side and you put your other stuff and it had to be balanced. And when the needle kind of hit the middle, you knew it was right. And what Paul is saying is basically, what we try to do is we try to balance what God has done for us. Now, we will never fully balance what God has done for us. But what we try to do is live a life that lives up as much as we can to the calling of God. A life that is worthy of what God has done for us. And he says to these people, I urge you, okay? He is begging them. This is the kind of life you should be leading. So Paul is saying to these people, you need to live a life. You need to live a life that is worthy of the calling. If you read the King James Version, it talks about live a life, a walk that is worthy. As you watch people walk, I had a strange conversation the other day. We met this teacher outside the Wheat Sheaf. We were on holiday. We were going out for a meal. And this teacher saw us. And then she sort of said, hi, Will. She teaches over at the school. And I saw her on Wednesday as I was leaving the school. She said, it was so nice to see you at the restaurant, et cetera, et cetera. She said, I was behind you and I recognized by the way you walked. I thought, that's an interesting one, because I've never seen that. She recognized me by the way I walked. And I wonder if that is true of your faith. People recognize you by the way you walk, the way you live your life. It is a wonderful thing that God has called us to himself. We just read the book of Ephesians, you'll see all that God has done. But the calling is that we live a life that is worthy of what God has done for us. That we live a life that is pleasing to him. And we don't do it just for ourselves, but we do it for God and for the church. Because if we live a life that is worthy, we'll live a life that is, the goal is unity amongst us. And the Old Testament talks about unity as well. There's those wonderful verses in Psalm 133. It says this, how good and pleasant is when it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the beard, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robe. It is if, sorry, I've lost my page, as if the, let's turn and have a look. Oh, it's not there. I'll cut it out of that bit. But it's as if the Jew of Hermon, I can't remember the rest of it. And then he goes on to say right at the end, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. Okay, quick, I'm going to ask you to put your hands up. Okay, I hope you don't mind. Do it in public. It'll just be quick. Hands up if you want to be blessed today. Okay, I'm getting 50%. But the rest of you are too shy, aren't you? I know you don't put my hands up in church. But you see, the truth is that we all want to see the blessing of God, don't we? Okay, it's great that we're here. Yes? Wouldn't it be greater if every seat was filled?
Yes. Come
on. If we had another 10 different nationalities in our church? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great as if we prayed for people every Sunday morning, we saw people healed, yes, and delivered, yes, and saved, yes, and going on with God?
Come on.
Amen. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to see the blessing of God. Yes. And what the New Testament says very clearly is the blessing of God comes on God's people when they are united,
yeah,
when they stand together in love, when they bear with one another in love, when they're humble and patient, when they desire unity so much that they will do anything for it.
Yeah.
My prayer for our church, is that we are united as the people of God, different nations, different places in Basingstoke, different parts of the UK, but we are united together. Yeah. We stand together in love. And then we see the blessing of God Almighty upon us. It is possible. I suppose I had a walk this morning. I was walking the dog very early before sunrise came up. And as I came back from my walk, I looked across and the sun was rising. The sun was rising. It was beautiful to see. Worth getting up for. And I felt God speak to me. You know, we've been through tough time, haven't we? COVID has been awful. You know, and for me as a church leader, there are many seats here that are not filled by people who used to come. And we are sad about that. But what I felt God was saying is the sun is rising. The sun is rising and his light and favor will shine upon the church in the days to come. And I believe part of that happening is when we stand together and work together and serve together as the people of God, giving ourselves to him and to service, but also to one another.
Amen.
Should we stand? We're going to pray together. This morning, I think God is calling each one of us to be part of his body, to serve him, to love and care for one another, to truly be the body of Christ. Before I pray, why don't you just look around at other people and just in your own heart appreciate them and thank God for them. Because God has put us together. We're his body. We're his family here in Buckskin. So Father, we do thank you. Father, we want to thank you for this amazing church, this church family that you have called together.
Yes.
And I want to pray, Father, for each one of us that we might live lives that are truly worthy of you.
Yes.
We might walk in our way, in your ways.
Yes.
We might love and serve and give. Not just to you, Father. Not just in this community, but to one another. I want to pray, Father, that you would build us up in our most holy faith. That you would unite us as one, so that we might serve you and live for you. And we pray, Lord, today that we claim that promise when we live in unity. May we see your blessing upon us. Father, may we see your kingdom come in this place. May we see those who are unwell. May we see them be healed, Father. May we see people come to Christ, be truly saved and brought into your kingdom.
Yeah.
Father God, may we see people released from all kinds of addictions and problems.
Yeah.
Father God, pour out your blessing upon us, we pray. And we pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen.